In the name of our risen and living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friends, fellow saints, part of the saints militant, thinking of those who in glory shine today. We'll focus on words I read from the prophet Isaiah chapter 25. Just read one verse at this time. On that day it will be said, look, here's our God. We waited for him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And we pray. Lord, we know that patience is always going to pay off. It's always worth it when we wait for you. And we know the glory that is coming because your promises are absolutely true. So delight us with your promises today as we look forward to the greatest day. Amen. Are you hungry? I want you to imagine the most exquisite banquet that you could ever possibly go to with the finest chefs in the country. And perhaps they would have all your favorite entrees, generous appetizers, before dinner drinks, during the meal drinks, after dinner drinks, desserts, everything perfectly paired by these fine, fine chefs. Wouldn't you be delighted to be at such a banquet? I know I had the chance to go out to eat last night with some friends, and it was lovely. Now, if you want to know where, I can tell you after church and I give you a recommendation. But one of the most generous things our dear friends refused to have us pitch in anything. They picked up the entire tab. And it was exquisite. It was a little foretaste of heaven. Just a lovely, lovely evening. Well, God has an even better banquet in store for you. And today we hear about it. And you're invited. And it's something that Jesus has promised. So you know this invitation is valid and certain. He wants you to feast. To feast at the banquet of eternal life. And the Lord has made everything ready. And his people will savor the celebration forever. The feast is talked about in our reading today. Now, Isaiah pictures this lovely gathering. It is the blessed glory of heaven itself. But he uses such beautiful picture language that we can relate to. He uses the picture of a mountain on which God's people gather. You know what mountain they did get to gather on. Way back in Exodus chapter 24, after the giving of the first covenant, God invited Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 elders up to the top of Mount Sinai. And they ate with God. There was sapphire and a pavilion, and how did it happen? Well, they were wearing blood. They were wearing the blood of the Lamb, and they were invited at God's own direction, his terms. How did we get on top of Mount Sinai? Certainly not on our terms, because the law of God, that was given on Mount Sinai. Have you even thought about this morning how many commandments, holy commandments, you've broken? Think of the Ten Commandments right now with me. Did I get up joyful, singing, thinking only of my God? Or was I complaining about cold weather and rain and hour changes and I think you know. I've just confessed it to you. How many times we grumble. We don't feel like singing. We don't feel like praising. We don't feel like laughing or dancing or any of the things that we heard about. In fact, most of our lives, we feel like a bunch of grumps. People who go about our day covered in dust and ashes. As if a big burial cloth is over our whole lives, You know what I'm talking about. If you've seen any of those TV shows and they put the cloth over the body, or if they're in the morgue, or do you even think about maybe if you've been here at a funeral and you know there's a covering, there is a pall that's over a casket. That's the way it seems most days. How could we ever get to the top of the mountain with all of our disappointment and failures? Now, we really want to dine with God. I have no doubt about that. Everyone hears about the feast and wants to be there. But we have to learn that there's another mountain, not Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, Jerusalem, the golden. We want to get to that mountain. And for that to happen, we certainly cannot come dressed in our own clothing. We need the robes of righteousness. Remember when Jesus talked about the wedding banquet and how the king had invited, and there was one fellow who dared to come dressed shabbily in his own worthless rags of sin instead of the king's banquet clothes, which were fully funded and provided to the guests. How dare he think he could be in the wedding hall of the King of Kings without the righteousness provided by God himself? We shudder to think about that man because he was bound hand and foot and tossed out of the party into the place of darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because we have failed to keep God's holy commandments on Mount Sinai, that's what we deserve. But God gave us a different mountain. At Calvary, our Savior, the perfect one, he gave his very life. Covered in his blood, covered in his righteousness, covered in that all-atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, we've been clothed by Christ and we are saints. When God looks at us, he sees his one and only Son. How wonderful that our substitute paid for all our sins. And he wants us to be at the banquet. He paid in full. He picked up the whole tab. And he says to you, dead people can't eat. It takes away your appetite. Even at a funeral, we gather for our luncheon afterwards and we're sharing stories, but there's one person conspicuously absent, not eating. The one that we came to remember. They're not able to eat. Or are they? Because God says those who are dead in Christ aren't really dead. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. They're just at a different feast. God wants to make sure nobody misses out on the meal. Nobody misses out on the feast. Because having a meal together is special. So special. I do regret that as life gets busier, there are many times we don't get to sit around the family table and talk about our day and just have those memories and joy. There's something about table fellowship where you just don't want to eat alone. Or grab another sack of fast food as a drive-through. You'll want to sit down at the table and be together. Our Heavenly Father knew there was no way for us to meet him on that mountain without sending his one and only Son. And he wants to make sure no one misses the meal. So Jesus kept all the holy commandments. He never got up and said, "Yuck, what a horrible day we have." He never complained one bit. He went all the way to death and then right out of the tomb, right out on Easter Sunday morning. On this mountain, Mount Calvary, which breaks forth to Mount Zion, he will destroy the shroud that covers all people, that burial cloth stretched over all the nations. He swallowed up death forever. Jesus took it away. How? You know how. If Jesus had any sins, there's no way he could have risen from the dead. There's no way, for he would have had more to pay yet. But when Christ came out of the tomb, all of our sins buried him, gone. They did not rise with him because Christ had indeed fulfilled the law. And then he rose triumphantly from the grave to prove it. It's like the greatest receipt. Sometimes you go to the store and you get one of those really long receipts. You say, I think that's a record. No, Christ's resurrection is the record. Every single sin, all the things I've ever done wrong, all listed on that receipt. Everything you've done wrong, listed on that receipt. Paid in full, done completely. Yes, he kept it all so that we would not have to be thrown out into that out in darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Instead, God himself takes away the sinful rags and gives us a righteous robe. In Christ, we have perfection. In Christ, we have victory over death. And that's why I can smile. I can smile even at a funeral, because Jesus, he puts the fun in funeral. He's the one who says, this isn't the end at all. Whether it's a loved one who passed away from the big C, Christ is bigger than the big C. Christ is the one who assures us he will wipe away all tears. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The master of the universe comes, and with his nail-scarred hands, he tenderly wipes away those tear-stained cheeks and says, it's me, it's really me, and you're with me forever, and you're going to feast. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the earth, where the Lord has spoken. Isaiah makes sure we know this is a solemn promise. The L-O-R-D has decreed it. He has spoken, and it can't be reversed. That's a fact. God has said, this feast is beautiful, and it's ready for you. Now, I love the description, because he says he will prepare for all people, no one excluded, a banquet of rich food, a banquet of aged wines with the best cuts of meat, with the finest wines. They didn't have cholesterol problems back in the Old Testament like we do. They didn't have to worry about Wagyu beef or some of those Kobe beef steaks or anything. No, no. They knew what he was talking about. The best of the best, the finest. In fact, literally the Hebrew says it's a feast of fatness. All of the goodies, all of the best. Maybe for us we think of Thanksgiving, or maybe we think of an exquisite banquet. But God wants us to think only of the best. Even if you're no wine connoisseur, you can delight in this picture. He's saying, oh, you've never tasted wine like this. Well, maybe the wedding at Cana, but you've never tasted a treat this awesome. And no waiter is going to come and say, all right, guys, that's enough. You've been here. You can't be playing cards at the table. We need this table for other guests. Get out of here. No, it's forever and ever. That's how wonderful the banquet's going to be. The choicest of meat, the finest of wines. It is good to be a child at the table of our Father in heaven, where he wants you there. He's not only invited you, but he sent his one and only son to make it happen. Sometimes people think that religion or Christianity is there to suck all the fun out of life. No party, it's always just a bunch of grumps. Read this. This God loves celebrations. This God loves the good stuff. He wants you to have life. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's all worth it. We waited for you, God. The people are singing. They're rejoicing. Let us rejoice in salvation. We waited, God, and it was so worth it. This is our God. On that day, it will be said, look, here he is. Isn't that the great delight? All of those texts, all those parables that talk about the waiting as we're getting now into the end time season of the church here. You think of those five who were wise, those who had their lamps lit and trimmed and ready. We waited, and it's all here. So maybe the days seem long. Maybe you don't think it's ever going to get here. maybe you start to struggle and you go back down that rabbit hole that says, oh, my life is dust and ashes. It's just misery. Woe is me. No, this is your God. The joy of salvation. Not paid for by you, not paid for by my dear friends or anyone else other than Jesus himself. The Lord has made everything ready, and his people will feast at the banquet forever. So Christians, until that day we're in heaven, we have the feast right here. The Lord who wants table fellowship with you. The Lord who comes to you forgiving your sins with the best on the menu there can ever be, where he gives us himself. We don't have to fear death, for we have the bread of life. We have the one who comes to strengthen us, preserve us, and keep us in the one true faith until life everlasting. So dinner is ready. Come and get it. Amen. Please.